I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of James. I'm going to be speaking to you on this subject, what is your life? What is your life? And we're going to read from the fourth chapter of James, three verses, beginning with verse 13, verse 13 through 15 of James chapter 4. Now listen to the scriptures. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. What is your life? I wish that I could get everyone who's listening to my voice today to do some serious thinking about life and death. I think we're prone to joke too much about growing old. I know we do talk about getting old and we laugh about it and joke about it, but it's a serious subject. I think we speak lightly about the passing years, and we're even prone to laugh and joke about death. Well, my friends, there's no subject more serious than death, and there's no appointment more certain than death. The Scripture says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The Scripture says, in a few days, not in a few decades or a few years or even months, but the time is so short, the prophet uses the word days. In a few days, I shall go the way from which I shall not return. David prayed this way, Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. I wish we could think seriously about this subject of growing old, dying and meeting God in the judgment and spending eternity somewhere. What is your life? Now, my friends, I'm not suggesting that we miss the blessings and happinesses of life by constantly dwelling on death. I'm not suggesting that at all. God has given us many joys and many happinesses and many blessings and benefits on this earth. It's a beautiful world. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. God made the world good. He made it beautiful. Sin has marred it. Take sin out of this world, it'd be a good world. And I'm not suggesting that we think about death and judgment and hell and heaven so much that we miss the blessings of life and the happinesses God has given us. But a wise man, a truly wise man, will consider what he is. He is dust. He is dust. His life is a vapor. It's a swiftly passing fad. His life is, the Scripture says, it calls it the fashion of this world that fadeth away. His life is a flower that's here for a little while and then gone. So a wise man will consider what he is. He'll consider where he's going. A wise man will consider what his future holds, and he'll also consider what sort of hope he has for the future and where he'll spend eternity. Was it Longfellow the poet who wrote, life is real, life is earnest, the grave is not its goal, dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. Many years ago I learned a poem. I can't recite the whole poem, I won't attempt to, but I remember the story. The poem told about a great king in a foreign country who had a jester, a court clown that entertained him and all of his friends. And the court clown was so good at his work and so good at entertaining people, he was so foolish, that the king knighted him. He called him Sir Fool. And one day he called him in to the throne room, and he'd entertained the king, and the king presented him with a gift. He gave him a gold-tipped walking cane. It had a gold knob on it. And when he gave the walking cane to the jester, he said, Sir Fool, He said, I believe you're the biggest fool I've ever met. He said, if you ever find someone who's a bigger fool than you are, give him this cane. And the fool thanked the king for the cane and took it away. And the years passed. They were good friends, the king and the jester. But one day someone came to the jester after many years had passed and said to him, the king wants to see you. The king is a sick man. The king is dying, and he wants to bid farewell to you. So the jester went up to the king's bedroom where he was passing away, where he was dying. And when he came up beside the bed, the king said to him, I wanted to tell you goodbye. And the jester said, is my lord taking a trip? The king said, well, yes, I'm taking a long, long journey. Well, he said, where are you going? The king said, well, I'm not sure. And the jester said, well, when are you coming back? And the king said, well, I fear I'm not coming back. And the jester said, well, your majesty, what preparation have you made for this trip? And there was a long silence, and a tear came in the eye of the old king, and he said, well, I'm afraid I've made no preparation for this journey at all. And the jester looked at him, and he said, you mean that you're going on a long journey, and you're not coming back, you're going to stay in this place where you're going, and you've made no preparation at all for the journey? And the king said, that's correct, I'm afraid I've made no preparation at all. And when he said that, the jester handed him the gold knob walking cane. And he said to the king, your majesty, with apologies, I believe you're a bigger fool than I am. This is your cane. I give it back to you. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I want us to think seriously about this thing of death, this thing of judgment and eternity. I often wonder how I will die. Do you? Do you ever think about that? I know I'm older than many of you, but some of you are older than I am. Do you ever wonder how you'll die? Do you ever wonder when you'll die? Do you ever wonder what shall be your hope and confidence when you come to die? Will you be able to face death at rest, at peace, with confidence that you'll live always with the Redeemer? The prophet in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, wrote this, let me die. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Now, in our text, the Apostle James raises a question. What is your life? And that's my subject today. What is your life? What is your life? I suppose I could get many answers to that question, just about as many answers as there are people listening to my voice, but let's go to the Scriptures. The best interpreter of Scriptures is the Scriptures. That's right. The best way to find out what a Scripture means is to find another Scripture. So I'm going to ask the question, what is your life, and answer it from the Word of God. And I'll divide the message into three parts. First of all, I'm going to talk about the swiftness of life. What is your life? It's very swift. It's quickly over. And then I'm going to talk about the uncertainty of life. What is your life? Well, it's very uncertain. It's like a frail tent. The Bible doesn't call these bodies buildings. It talks about a building which we have with God, but it talks about a tent which we live in below. A tent is a frail structure. It can quickly be dashed aside or blown down by the wind or something happened to it. So the uncertainty of life, and then I'm going to talk lastly about the hope of life after death, the hope of eternal life. Now, first of all, the Bible talks about the swiftness of life. What is your life? What is your life? The swiftness of it. I know that young men and women listening to my voice today view life as a long experience. I suppose if you're 21 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 and you're sitting there listening to my voice, you say, what's he talking about, the swiftness of life? Boy, it seems like I'm going to live always down here on this earth. Turn to granddaddy there and ask him how long life is. The man who's 60 or 70 years of age, he's been here as long as you'll probably live. Ask him how long is life. He'll say, son, it's just a day and a half. The older you get, the faster the years go by. The years go by like days after you get 50 or 60 years of age. The years roll by so quickly, and it's soon gone. The older you get, the faster it goes by. And a young man looking forward to life and 40 or 50 more years, it seems so long. But the old people looking back on life, well, it just seemed like yesterday they were children sitting around their mother and father's table. Life swiftly goes by. Let's see what Scripture says about it. In Job chapter 9, verse 25, Job says, "My days are swifter than a post. My days are swifter than a post. They flee away and see no good." What's he talking about? Well, back in the days of Job, the mail was delivered by men riding fast horses. They had relay stations. A man had letters to deliver or messages to deliver, and he'd get on a horse here, and he'd ride rapidly to the relay station, and they'd have a horse waiting on him, and he would lay aside the tired horse and get on the fresh horse and ride rapidly to another relay station. He'd get off that horse onto another and ride till he'd complete his journey. Well, this is what Job is talking about when he says our lives go by so swiftly. Each year is like those fast horses. We get off one onto the other, get off that one onto another, get off that one onto another, until soon we reach the end of the journey. Our years are like these fast horses. They go by so quickly. Watch another illustration. He says in Job 9:26, "My days are like a swift ship being carried by the wind," just swiftly going toward the harbor. There's no stopping it. The wind gets in the sails and the ship just speeds along to its destination. "My days are like an eagle," not an eagle floating gently in the air, taking its time, you know. Not an eagle sitting on the nest, but "my days are like an eagle that hasteth to its prey." The old eagle has spotted some prey or victim down below, and he swoops down upon that victim and overtakes it. And even so, death overtakes us as swiftly as an eagle flies after its victim. And then in Job 7, verse 6, he said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." A weaver's shuttle. "And they are spent without hope." Did you ever see anyone weave a rug or a garment, and on an old-fashioned weaver, an old-fashioned shuttle, it just flies. It flies faster, really, than the eye can see it. And after a while, the garment is done and complete. And that's what Job says, "My life, my days, are like a weaver's shuttle. They just go like that. So quickly, they're passing by." And then in Job 7, verse 7, he says this, talking about the swiftness of our days and the swiftness of our years. He said, "Oh, remember that my life is like the wind." Like the wind. Sudden, swift, and then it's gone. Did you ever stand out in the field and everything's calm, and then suddenly you hear the rustling of the leaves and see the bending of the trees, and a wind comes up so quickly and blows, and it seems like it's going to blow you away. And then in a moment, everything's calm again. You see what the Lord is saying? Life is moving swiftly along. Swiftly along. Life is like fast horses on a relay, a post relay. Life is like the swift ships driven by the wind. Life is like an eagle that hasteth after its prey. Life is like a weaver's shuttle. Each day passes by like the weaver's shuttle weaving the garment. And life is like the wind. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, your tomorrows may all be gone." Boast not thyself of tomorrow, your tomorrows may all be gone. Are you thinking with me? The swiftness of life. What is your life? Well, it's a quickly passing thing. All right, notice the second thing now. Let's look at the uncertainty of life. The uncertainty of life. Now, there's so many scriptures, in fact, on the uncertainty of life that I've had to leave many out. I'm just going to deal with a few that I find in the Word of God and leave most of them out. The Bible speaks quite a bit about the uncertainty of life, how frail it is. Mr. Spurgeon used to say, "It's surprising that a harp of so many strings could stay in tune so long." In James chapter 4, verse 14, when the apostle asked, "What is your life?" he doesn't stop there. He says, "What is your life He tells you what it is. He said it is even a vapor, a mist, a fog, that appears for a little time and then it's gone. Did you ever walk out on the lake before the sun comes up some morning? Walk out on the lake, and just before the sun rises, you can see a vapor rising from the lake. There's a mist or a fog that's rising from the lake. It's all over the lake. You see it everywhere. There's that mist, that fog. Vapor is what it is. And then the sun tops the hill and shines down on the lake, and the fog just slips away. And it's gone. Life is frail like that. It's frail as a vapor, as a mist of fog. It's fleeting and uncertain. That's what he's saying to us. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it's gone. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12, he says, all of my days I spend as a shadow. Now you talk about a vapor being frail and uncertain. How about a shadow? There's nothing with less substance than a shadow. There's nothing with less certainty than a shadow. Now a tree is firm and certain, but the shadow is nothing. The great wall that you've built with your stones and bricks is permanent, but the shadow of the wall is temporary. It's there, and then it's not there. And that's what he says, my days are spent as a shadow. The days of my vain life are but a shadow. Listen to Isaiah 38, 12. My age is departed and removed from me as a shepherd's tent. You know, you see the shepherd out there on the side of the mountain. He's grazing his sheep. He's not going to be there long. He's just going to be there till the clover's gone or till the grass is gone. He's going to be there a little while. So he doesn't build a house there. He doesn't put a fence around his house. He doesn't plant a garden or plant trees. He pitches a little tent, a lean-to. It's a temporary dwelling place. It's just something to shield him from the wind and the sand and the sun. He won't be there very long. And that's what the prophet Isaiah says, my age is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. And then Isaiah 40, verse 6, all flesh is grass, and the glory thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Surely the people is grass. Why do we try to plant our roots so deep? I don't know why, but we do. On this earth, when life is so frail and so fleeting and so uncertain, we try to plant our roots deep. We build our mansions and put fences around them as if we were going to stay there. And the Word of God says this, God knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. As for man, his days are as the grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Oh, yes, strong, handsome, beautiful, full of strength. Power, nourishment, but the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. The wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. As I said, there's so many scriptures on the uncertainty of life. Other scriptures picture life as a pilgrimage, as a tale that's told. And our days fly away, the scripture says, as a dream. The songwriter said, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories fade away. Change and decay all around me I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Well, let's close with this thought. What is the hope of eternal life? What is the hope of eternal life? Now, one of the clearest scriptures in the Bible on the hope of eternal life. We've been talking about its swiftness, the swiftness of human life, natural life, the uncertainty of it. But there's a hope of eternal life. 1 John 5. You want to turn over there? 1 John 5, 11. It says, and this is the record. This is the record. In other words, this is the promise of God. This is the Word of God. The Word of God who cannot lie. The Word of God who cannot fail. Paul called it a faithful saying, a sure saying. and worthy of acceptation by all men. This is the record. This is the Word of God. What does it say? That God hath given to us eternal life. Who gave it to us? God did. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. We didn't buy it. God gave it to us. God thought it. God in Christ bought it. God in Christ sought us and applied that life. God hath given us eternal life. If a man dies, shall he live again? Well, you can't answer that question because you've never talked to anybody who died and lived again. The only one who can answer that question is God Almighty. And he says, man shall live again. There is a resurrection of the dead. There is an eternal life. Now, we're not talking about just the length of it. We're talking about the quality of it. Eternal life is spiritual life. It's divine life. You see, there's several kinds of life. There's mineral life. There's vegetable life. There's human life. And then there's divine life, eternal life. And divine life is eternal. And God, the source of divine life, the giver of life, hath given to us eternal life. I'm interested in that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All right, you with me so far? This is the record. This is the record. This is not guesswork. This is not theory. This is the record. This is God's record. He's the only one who has the answers to these questions. Nobody has the answer. The doctor stands and watch life leave the body. He can't do anything about it. He doesn't know where it goes or what it is, what its form is after that. He doesn't know. The philosopher might talk about life, but when a person dies, that's all he knows. That's the end of his knowledge. But God knows, and God says this is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. Now listen to the next sentence. And this life, this eternal life, this divine life, this spiritual life, is in his Son. Who is his Son? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ Jesus was on this earth, the Father spake from heaven and said, this is my Son. And this life, this eternal life, this divine life, this spiritual life, is in his Son. That's where it is. Eternal life is not in the church. The church is not a building anyway. The church is an assembly of people. Eternal life is not in the ordinances, baptism, the Lord's table, or whatever. Eternal life is not in the law. Eternal life is not even in a profession of faith. It's not in a mourner's bench or a walking the aisle or shaking a preacher's hand or having somebody put some water on your head. That's not where life is. Life cannot be conferred by one human upon another human. I don't have eternal life to give you. I'm not the source of life. God's the source of life. In him is life. In him, Christ is our life. No man can live. Christ quickeneth whom he will. As the Father quickeneth whom he will, so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Well, eternal life's in Christ. And that's what he said. This life is in his Son. In his Son. Now, he is life. And he purchased our eternal life by his death on the cross. He bought life for us. He bought life. And he satisfied God's law and honored God's justice in order to give us this eternal life. In order that God may be just and justify the ungodly. This life's in his Son. That's where it is. That's the source of life. Now listen to the next sentence. And he that hath the Son of God, he that hath him, not a picture of him, he that hath the Son, not he that hath his words, he that hath the Son, not he that hath his ordinances or some relic, a piece of the cross or a piece of the ark or something. He that hath the Son himself hath everlasting life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And this life is in his Son. Yes, I'm going to die. I will face God at the judgment. There will be an eternity to spend somewhere. I want to spend it in the presence of God. I read this scripture quite often and think about this. Let me share it with you. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. John's writing here. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. What is your life? Have you understood what I've been trying to say to you? It's swiftly passing by. The years you have, most of them are gone, some of you. The tomorrows you've been talking about, most of them are gone. And life is so uncertain, it's so frail and fleeting. But eternity is certain, judgment is sure, eternity is long. Where will you spend eternity? Well, if you have the Son by faith, you have eternal life. And to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory.